This is Hurricane Season, a podcast that explores some of the biggest storms that have greatly impacted Greater Houston people and policies. On Episode 5, Tropical Storm Allison.
Traditionally, the phrase tropical storm has not evoked the same level of fear as the word hurricane. A tropical storm becomes a hurricane when its winds accelerate to speeds of at least 74 miles per hour. When that happens, the storm becomes a triple threat. The wind itself can knock over trees and hurl missiles of glass and stone through the air. The wind also drives a second weapon, the storm surge. It's a massive dome of water capable of demolishing buildings and drowning hundreds, even thousands of people. And finally, there's something that sometimes gets overlooked, the rain.
The frightening thing about Allison is that we all focus on what category is the storm, what's the storm surge, and we don't really, up until that point, we really hadn't thought about the rain, and the rain, and the rain, and the rain.
I'm Andrew Schneider. What tropical storms lack in punch in terms of wind and storm surge, they more than make up for in rain. And it's that aspect that can make them as destructive as any hurricane. On this episode of Hurricane Season, we examine Tropical Storm Allison and its legacy in Houston. Before Harvey, Allison was the costliest and deadliest tropical storm in American history.
Hurricane Season is a project of the Houston Flood Museum in partnership with Houston Public Media and is supported by Houston Endowment. Visit HoustonFloodMuseum.org.
First station was a 250-watt radio station in Lockhart, Texas, AM daytime station. Imagine 250 watts, that's two or three light bulbs in power.
Ed Mayberry is a legend of Texas radio. He spent nearly 30 years in the business in Austin, shifting back and forth between rock DJ and news anchor. The work gave him the chance to meet and interview some of his favorite artists.
Everybody from Ringo Starr to Stevie Ray Vaughan, and a lot of people are no longer with us, you know, like Johnny Cash and Roy Orbison and Carl Perkins.
In 1999, Mayberry boxed up his collection of taped interviews and moved to Houston. Initially, he worked for KTRH, then joined KUHF, Houston's NPR affiliate, the next year. Monday, June 4th, 2001. Ed Mayberry had been at KUHF just a few months when a cluster of thunderstorms began drifting up through the western Gulf of Mexico. Bill Reed was the meteorologist in charge of the National Weather Service's Houston office based in League City.
It had been a relatively disorganized tropical wave moving off the Yucatan and into the Gulf of Mexico, and it barely got its act together about 18 hours before landfall.
By 7 a.m. the next morning, June 5th, the system had organized into the first storm of the 2001 hurricane season. Its name, Tropical Storm Allison. It made landfall later that day, southwest of Galveston, near Freeport.
As tropical storms go, for wind and surge, it was a nothing burger. The winds were less than 40 miles an hour at most land stations, and we didn't have a surge of any consequence. But it wasn't moving very fast, and that's the key on the big rain tropical cyclones.
Tropical cyclones are better known as hurricanes or tropical storms, depending on the sustained wind speeds. They derive their power from large, warm bodies of water like the Gulf of Mexico. Both aspects mean they carry far more moisture than an ordinary cold front.
Now, if it's moving really fast, they're crazy. These big, heavy thunderstorms, they don't last but a few hours over any one location. When you slow the thing down, 5 miles an hour or less, now you have those rain events occurring over and over the same place. And that's why you get the big rain totals.
Reed had plenty of experience covering slow-moving, heavy rainstorms. He was stationed in San Antonio in the late 1970s, when tropical storms Amelia and Claudette battered Texas. Claudette had stalled over Brazoria County and dumped a record 42 inches of rain on the rural community of Alvin in just 24 hours.
But we sat around wondering, what's it going to be like when one of these big stalled tropical storm rain events occurs over an urbanized area? And that was what was going through my mind as the setup that evening for the big rain in Allison occurred over central through northeast Houston southward.
Reed wasn't the only one concerned about the potential effect of a slow-moving tropical storm and the threat it posed to Houston. Robert Eccles was then Harris County judge. 7 years earlier, in the midst of Eccles' first campaign, the remnants of Hurricane Rosa inundated East Harris County. The floodwaters ruptured a gasoline pipeline over the San Jacinto River, and the river caught on fire.
The main impression I got from that was the confusion that I saw between the state and local officials and whether the highways were open, they were closed. There was no single point of good information for folks in the community trying to get around during that storm.
Eccles says he didn't initially realize that emergency management was part of a county judge's responsibility.
My predecessor in office had delegated that response authority to the sheriff's office because he explained to me that disasters were never good news and you didn't want to be there politically when disasters happened.
In the 6+ years that followed, Eccles brought responsibility for emergency management back into the county judge's office. He worked closely with the Harris County Sheriff and the head of the Harris County Flood Control District on response. Eccles also expanded the work of the county on flood mitigation and recovery plans.
Allison was the first real test of that new system.
Allison started crossing over Houston on the evening of June 5th and the morning of June 6th. At KUHF, it was an all-hands-on-deck situation. Everyone in the newsroom, including Ed Mayberry, was covering the storm.
I was working until I got word that my house was flooding. We had about a foot of water in our house.
Over the next day, Allison moved inland as far as Lufkin. It weakened into a tropical depression. But then, instead of continuing north and breaking up, it did a loop. As it circled back south, the storm gathered new strength from the warm water of the Gulf. Again, Bill Reed.
Even now, the skill at forecasting amounts is just not there to where you can pinpoint who's going to get big rains or not. And back then, most of the computers that we used to forecast amounts were indicating maybe 10 inches of rain. And I had a rule of thumb I shared with my forecasters. Take whatever the computers give you and double it.
Starting Friday, June 8th, and continuing into Saturday, Allison dumped as much as 28 inches of rain on parts of Harris County. The heaviest rain fell over the Greens Bayou watershed northeast of Houston.
In a lot of ways, it was like Harvey in the sense that it just sort of sat over us and kept dumping water on us.
Future Houston Mayor Anise Parker was then a member of City Council.
But so many people were caught by surprise because when the storm comes and it's a tropical storm, it's not, you know, you begin to think, oh, well, maybe it's not going to be a big deal. We'll ride it out and we'll be fine.
The clay-based soil around Houston has a tough time absorbing water even when it's dry. But the ground was already saturated from Allison's first pass. Neil Frank, former director of the National Hurricane Center, was then chief meteorologist for Houston's CBS affiliate KHOU.
The drainage system that is in effect right now is that you build your houses a little higher than the streets, and the streets take the heavy rain and flow the heavy rain down to some bayou someplace, and then the bayou carries the water on down to the Gulf of Mexico. But when you have heavy rains like that, the street system can't drain the rainfall fast enough.
People trying to drive or walk across those flooded roads often misjudge the depth of the water. Many were trapped in their cars or swept off their feet by the current. In Harris County alone, 19 people drowned. The rains flooded Houston's downtown tunnels and everything connected to them.
I was working downtown at the Alley Theater.
Lizzie Pannell, later congressional candidate Lizzie Pannell Fletcher, was just 4 years out of college when Allison hit.
And we woke up on Saturday morning to 20 feet of water in our building.
Former Harris County Judge Robert Eccles says the Texas Medical Center, connected by its own system of tunnels, suffered some of the worst damage.
The low rent part of the buildings, typically down in the basement underground, is where they put all of the files and the generators and the control systems and the labs and the things that didn't need the high-value part of the real estate.
The deluge wrecked the medical center's water supply. It knocked out the electricity. That meant no lights, no air conditioning, and no power for life-saving equipment. A bad situation had turned to worse. 9 out of 13 hospitals in the center had to evacuate their patients. Tens of thousands of homes across the region were swamped. That included Ed Mayberry's home in Friendswood. His home had already flooded the first time Allison passed through. It hadn't even finished drying out when the storm came around the second time.
I remember some high school kids taking me down to my house in a canoe and getting out and sort of swimming through the front door and refrigerators floating on its side and, you know, kind of lose everything that's 5 feet and below in the house.
Mayberry lost a lifetime's worth of memories, including 30 years of taped interviews.
Tape is destroyed in water. It made me wish I'd digitized a lot earlier, but didn't happen. But the worst thing really is you lose pictures of your kids, you lose the videos.
That Saturday, June 9th, the Coast Guard, the National Guard, and local first responders rescued nearly 7,000 people. Allison drifted back out into the Gulf of Mexico on Sunday, then headed northeast, cutting a swath from Louisiana to Pennsylvania. By the time it was done, Allison dropped 32 trillion gallons of rain. That's enough to meet U.S. water needs for a year. It killed 50 people, 22 in Harris County. The final damage estimate from the National Hurricane Center was $9 billion. Again, former Harris County Judge Robert Eccles.
The biggest impact to me was not so much during the storm. It was more the recovery afterwards going into the people's homes. It was hot. There was no power. Mosquitoes were everywhere. A lot of folks just had no way of really knowing what help was available or how to get help.
As bad as Allison was, it could have been even more catastrophic. That was the conclusion of a report by FEMA and the Harris County Flood Control District.
If the same intense rainfall that was recorded at Greens Bayou had occurred farther to the west, the runoff would have had to travel a greater distance to reach the Houston Ship Channel and Galveston Bay across the most heavily populated area of the city. The damages, in this scenario, would have been much worse than those that Allison exacted on the area.
The findings of that report formed the basis of what became known as the Tropical Storm Allison Recovery Project. Former Judge Robert Eccles called it the most comprehensive review of Harris County's flood control policy since the 1970s.
We went throughout the region. Harris County did a countywide partnering with FEMA, LIDAR. It was a laser imaging radar to define flood elevations throughout the entire region based on the federal flood control floodplain regulations. We redefined that. Some people were unhappy saying, you put us in a floodplain, and we would explain to them that, no, we didn't put you in the floodplain. We just did a better job of identifying where that floodplain is.
The storm also led to dramatic improvements at the Texas Medical Center.
People moved their power systems, their generators, the critical infrastructure up above those floodplains, put in place flood gates in the tunnel system to prohibit the water from moving through if it got into one area throughout the entire system.
Harris County and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers developed mitigation projects for the bayous that suffered some of the heaviest flooding during Allison. But as time passed, federal funding dwindled. Work on most of the projects dragged on for a decade or more. And in the meanwhile, Houston would get a fresh lesson in how a natural disaster can lead to a man-made one.
Hurricane Season is produced by Andrew Schneider, Davis Land, Todd Holslander, and me, Maggie Martin. You can listen to this episode of Hurricane Season and subscribe by going to houstonpublicmedia.org/Harvey. On the next episode of Hurricane Season, we revisit Hurricane Rita.